Hey KU fans, welcome to another episode of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate. I'm joined by Tom Keegan. We're on our way back from the Sprint Center after KU's 65-54 CBE Classic Championship game victory over Georgia. This probably won't post in the immediate hours after we get back, but we are doing it in the car, and we're doing it because, Tom, we've got the questions, and it's time to get answers. The questions we have are about KU's big men.
Yes.
It looked like a strength of sorts. It looked like there was enough depth there. There looked like there were bodies and a good blend of experience and youth and all that. And right now, it looks like a whole lot of nothing. What gives?
Well, let's take it case by case, and let's start with the guy that you expected to get the most minutes and have the biggest role, and that's Landon Lucas. And thus far, he's been the biggest disappointment. So then let's look at what are possible causes of the disappointment. He's still walking in a boot when he's not playing, which means his foot is hurting him. When your foot's hurting you, you're not going to be the same guy. So that's one possibility, maybe one of a few factors, or maybe the entire explanation.
Sure.
For now, we'll table that because we don't really know how his foot is feeling. Self doesn't use it as an excuse, and neither does Lucas. Okay, so what else could it be? Could it be that he's trying to expand his game? Because last year, as a role player, he had a very specific role: rebound, defense, play physical basketball. Now he's trying to expand his role and do some post moves that he didn't do last year that he's been working on all offseason, do some other things as a scorer maybe. That hasn't gone well. Maybe it hurts his confidence.
Sure, and there's no need for it whatsoever. Self said that.
Yeah.
It's very obvious
but
that this team doesn't need it.
Yeah, but it's natural because you want to get better and you want to expand your game and your role. So, but he's also very smart and will figure out that that's not needed.
Right, yeah.
What's the third thing that has changed? The third thing that has changed, perhaps this is the biggest of all the factors, is that the referees are changing the way they call contact in the post. Landon Lucas was exceptional at getting away with contact in the post. He knew what the refs would tolerate, what they wouldn't a year ago. He had his best year at controlling foul trouble, which was a problem his previous 2 years. Now he's back to worse foul trouble than ever, played 10 minutes in the Georgia game and fouled out. So those, I think, are the three main factors, and probably number one would be the change way the fouls are called. Number two would be the foot. Number three would be trying to do too much.
I'm going to throw out a fourth because I think it's worth talking about.
Ah, wait a minute. I'm going to guess what it is.
You're going to be right.
He's because I just mentioned it. Do you think that these big guys are all a little bit freaked out by how fast the three perimeter players are playing? And they just feel inadequate, like, can I keep up?
Yeah, no, that's not my fourth, so there
okay,
is a fifth.
Okay, that's a fourth, now but, you get a fifth.
But I think that's fair. I mean, that even a subconscious thing, that
yeah,
could be part of it. Right, yeah. Under no circumstances does he think I should go do what Devontae Graham and Frank Mason and Josh Jackson are doing, but just the pace and the human nature of wanting to stay up with those guys. I agree, that could be a part of it, too. The fifth, then, if we'll keep moving on to the fifth, is
yeah.
I think it's possible, and I've really grown to like Landon Lucas a lot as a person, as a player.
Very smart guy.
He's a great
guy.
Dude, one of our favorite interviews, all that
great
stuff.
Great teammate.
Yeah, right. I do think, though, that it's possible that he got a little bit, not full of himself in a cocky, arrogant way, but just a little full of himself. And expected so much because he had such a good year last year. I'll tell you why. I read a couple of things over the summer and in the preseason that actually had Landon Lucas on NBA-type draft board sites. And I don't know that that was even a thought last year or at any point in his career. And maybe he's been reading that stuff too. And maybe that's causing him some sort of internal struggle that is creating some of these other factors. And he's just now in kind of a funk and in a bad way about the idea that, man, maybe I'm just not going to be in the NBA. You know, I don't know that he ever thought he was, but that's everybody's goal. Everybody hopes that they can get there, I'm sure. So, you know, you read some of that stuff. It's written. It's written how solid you were last year. You keep reading it. You keep reading it. And then you come out and have one or two bad games, and maybe you start pressing a little more. So I'm of the belief that it's as much mental as anything, And a lot of those factors that we just mentioned are certainly mental factors.
And the foot is not, that's a physical factor. So it'd be interesting to see when he turns it around, because we know he will.
Right.
I don't see his personality being able to be full of himself, overconfident maybe, because he did so well last year.
Full of himself's not the right word. I don't mean it in an arrogant way.
Yeah.
He's the same guy.
Right.
He's been the same guy to us. He's the same guy to his teammates. He's still an A-plus individual. So it has nothing to do with, popping his jersey and being cocky and feeling like I'm the man now, you know, or anything like that. It's not that. It's just... maybe sort of in a sense putting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit, just getting out of what he's good at,
right?
And then that kind of creates an avalanche of other problems and you know, head to toe, no pun intended, about the foot there. So but I agree, I think he's the least of the guys to worry about with this group, for sure, because he is mature, because he has been there and done that. And I asked Devontae Graham about all the bigs after the Georgia game, if he was worried, flat out, are you worried about your big guys? He's, no, not at all. Not at all. Didn't hesitate. So, of course, you'd like him to say that if you're a Kansas fan or if you're a Kansas player, but it seemed very genuine. So, let's move on to Carlton Bragg, another guy in the starting lineup. Big expectations for him, too, this year, and totally different expectations than there were for Lucas. In some ways, maybe bigger, and he's fallen short of those about just as much.
Definitely. In any sport, you have athletes who are tremendously skilled as long as all around them is taken care of and they're in a kind of an incubator environment. And you've got quarterbacks like Dane Chris and Jake Heaps, who, if they had great offensive lines, they had enough arm that maybe they could have been good. But you put duress on them and they weren't good. That wasn't the right situation for them. You have that in other sports as well, and in basketball.
That's some, what's happening
I,
here.
Here's what, another one in, that I was trying to think of. Catchers. Some catchers, you don't know until you put them behind the plate. They're called blinkers, and that's when the bat, when the hitter swings his bat, some catchers blink. It makes them blink. It's a reflex. They can't help it.
Sounds reasonable.
So they're not good receivers.
I would.
Yeah. So they're not good receivers. You don't know that until you get them back there. Then maybe they still have good arms and you play them anyway. But, well, with basketball, it's the same. When there's a lot of traffic, potential for a block shot, bumps, throwing you off balance, some guys can play through that contact. And others can't. At this point, Carlton Bragg is not only a guy who has trouble finishing through contact, he anticipates contact and I think retreats a little bit.
That's the worst part. No question about it. You can see it almost every time he's on the floor, almost every possession, anytime the ball comes down there. He is shying away from it before it's even there. And, part of that's probably the anticipation of getting hammered, not just blocked or bumped, but a foul, too. And you know, he's definitely proven in the short time he's been around that he's a guy that would prefer to kind of float and take that 15-foot jumper and have some fun with it and smile and then go back.
And slam it down on the break in transition.
Yeah. But that's not what they need him to be. And frankly, if he wants to, you know, play beyond Kansas, which he will, that's not what's going to get it done. I mean, he's got to develop his game in some sort of physical presence. Now, against Georgia, there was a shot that went up. I can't remember who missed the shot. I think it was Mason. And Bragg went up in traffic, grabbed a rebound on the offensive end from two or three guys that were right there that went up to get it to. I don't remember who they were. They could have been guards for all I know. But either way, he did what was right. He went up and attacked the ball in the air. That was a big-time moment. Literally seconds later, he got a dumb over-the-back foul on another offensive rebound attempt that was just not necessary. The guy had position. You weren't going to get it. Don't do that. So his problems are physical in nature, but they're also a little bit mental too, because he's committing some of those dumb, silly fouls as well, and that's killing his rhythm. That's killing his opportunity to even get comfortable out there where there is traffic and beef and space and things like that. So
playing not to foul and fouling even more.
There you go. Right. Perfect way to put it. So, I think most people are surprised that he's struggled so much. And it's to the point now where Bill Self's got a pretty quick leash on him. I mean,
don't blame him. Yeah. I was surprised he played 10 minutes. He was so ineffective when he did play.
There were a couple of times where he didn't get much time at all. And it was sub Vic, go come in for him. That's tough. I mean, that's tough for Lucas. That's tough for Bragg, because I think with both of those guys, a big part of their ability to play through this is exactly that. They've got to be out there to play. You're not going to get over something like this, these things that are plaguing them, by sitting on the bench. And so,
pretty hard to be out there when you foul out.
Right, though. Right. And so that's the deal. They've got to figure out the way to kind of keep moving forward with the idea of, I'm going to be aggressive, I'm going to be tough, but I'm going to be smart. And Josh Jackson's done it, and Josh Jackson's younger than both of those guys. So I think that once they figure that part of it out, then the rhythm will come back, and they'll start to feel some sort of a flow. But it's definitely not there right now, and it's the opposite of a flow. It's a clog right now.
Yeah.
So any more about Bragg?
Nope, that'll do it. A tremendously skilled guy. He's fast. He's a great shooter.
Azubuike. Udoka Azubuike is the next guy.
Just a simple case of not having enough experience as a basketball player, not having enough knowledge, not having enough experience playing against this kind of athleticism and with this kind of athleticism. Stamina has to build up, and his knowledge of the game has to build up. But he's on course. I mean,
absolutely. I don't think there's a real slump going on here with him. It's about what you'd expect. Some good, some bad, hot and cold. But overall, the needle's pointing up.
Yep. Yeah, he's an exciting talent. Pretty good hands and, a sense for blocking shots and a good defensive rebounder. Tries really, really hard and is a smart young man. So things will keep moving up for him in fits and starts, two steps forward, one step back,
sure.
That kind of thing.
Sure, agree totally. And then that brings you to the fourth big man spot, which really most of the preseason was a battle between freshman Mitch Lightfoot and junior transfer from Ole Miss, Dwight Colby. Looked early on like Lightfoot, it didn't look that way, it was that way. Lightfoot had won that job early on, but he's definitely taken a step back in the last couple of games. Not able to get on the floor as much, maybe just physically not ready.
Well, physically, yeah, this was a physical team down low, and I think to an extent UAB was as well. And that whole Colby Lightfoot thing could be as much about who the opposition is.
Definitely.
As far as who gets the first
Self
call.
Self said that very thing at Media Day, Big 12 Media Day. He said, it'd be great if one of them emerged as the clear fourth guy, but probably be something that we play matchups with most of the time. And frankly, he's hoping he doesn't have to go to that fourth big guy very often.
Yeah, and as Colby's year progresses, I think his knee will get stronger and stronger. The farther out from ACL surgery you are, the stronger it gets, and it fires more consistently. He said he's real close to being 100%, but when he runs, he still looks like he's favoring it. He may not even know it or feel it, but it still doesn't look real natural, and maybe with each month, maybe you'll notice a slight difference and a slight strengthening there. Certainly has a good knack for rebounding. Doesn't look like a real skilled player, but looks like he can withstand some physical punishment. He was a real happy guy after a game against Georgia because his father happened to be here, and when his father made the plans for the trip, Dwight was feeling kind of bad that he wasn't playing, and his father might come and watch him sit at the bench. And so that was the biggest feel-good part about this game.
Yeah, you couldn't help but smile talking to him. I thought the same thing. He was just a happy dude who felt good that he contributed and helped his team, and also appreciated the love that he got from the fans in the building. I mean, that was neat, too. It's a very cool thing to see that. What I liked most about his night was the fact that it had some good and it had some bad. I mean, I think that's the way he's going to learn. I mean, there was a time where he got the ball on the block and immediately went up with a shot, 4 or 5 seconds into the shot clock. Well, there were 4, maybe even 5 better options on the floor than him at that moment. There's no reason for him to be a guy who looks to shoot first. He can be a garbage man, a rebounder, a defender, and he did that plenty well against Georgia. But he still needs to clean up those other things. And then Lightfoot didn't play, and is still probably just a little bit of a work in progress.
Yep, but I think he'll be one of those program guys who maybe in his third year, a lot of people will be saying, geez, I never thought he'd be this good.
Yeah. Well,
but
and he's not pouting.
Opportunity brings it out in people.
Yeah, and he's not pouting about this. He gets it. He's a very smart young man, and I think
if
he
wanted
understands.
To play right off the bat, he would have gone somewhere in the WAC.
Sure. Yeah, this is where he wants to be. He's very happy here. He's going to work his butt off in practice to make those other guys better. And I think, you know, that it's going to be really interesting with all these big guys. You've got two guys in Frank Mason and Devontae Graham who are just A-plus leaders. They're just experienced. They're solid.
So is Jackson.
That's what I was going to say. And then you've got one more guy who's not afraid at all to be a leader, regardless of where he fits on the hierarchy of class or whatever. But so with those three guys, you know, encouraging the bigs and trying to keep their heads up and telling them, hey, that we're going to need you, that kind of stuff. I think it's only a matter of time, but it is surprising to me that it's taken a little bit long, or it's taken this long for these guys to continue. They're almost going the wrong direction. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they've been slumping pretty much all year, but the last couple of nights have been really, really going backwards.
Right. I thought the environments were kind of stale at the Sprint Center. The tournament was something short of a classic. But the people who did show up will be bragging someday that, yeah, I saw Josh Jackson.
There's no doubt. We'll end it on that note. I like that note. I don't want to talk about the trophy or the T-shirts or any of that stuff, so let's leave it alone.
Were there T-shirts?
Yeah, there were. I'm afraid so.
Wow.
Let's not talk about it.
Those will be worth maybe $1.
All right, well, good stuff. We'll be back again real soon with another episode of the Spodcasters, talking Kansas basketball with Tom Keegan. I'm Matt Tate. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and thanks for checking out this episode.